Good morning or good afternoon, church. There you go. It just hit 12 on the dot. Amen. All right. So today, me and David are actually going to be preaching to you guys. So I'll do the first part. And about 2 weeks ago, Sheridan asked us to preach about what's one thing that God has been teaching you. And there's a lot that God has been teaching me, and it's almost like, what am I going to share? You know, say if I can use an analogy, it's like you have a bowl full of water and fish, and trying to catch a fish with your hand, and you can't catch anything. So that's me trying to like think about what I'm going to share today. And so, actually, God has blessed me to have an opportunity to go to the Purity Conference last week. And so that was awesome because I don't know about you, hearing about the Purity Conference for years now, I know Eric and Gap has been sharing about it, that every year there's a Purity Conference. And honestly speaking, for me, whenever I hear that, I just cringe. I'm like, oh, I don't want to go there. Purity is something that I don't want to, you know, dive into. And so, but to keep long story short, basically I went in. It's the first conference that I've been to for me personally. I don't know about you, but, you know, every conference is always different. But for me, I always have to kind of put up a front because conference, a lot of people, a lot of disciples, a lot of Christians. I don't know. I have to always kind of put up a front. And so going into the conference, felt like, oh man, it's so intimidating because I'm going to go to something that I'm not too fond of sharing about, you know, purity, sexual purity struggles. And so I went in and pretty much, like for the first time, I felt like, wow, you know, I don't have to put up a front. I don't have to just show that, hey, I'm a disciple. I'm supposed to be doing well. I'm just here to kind of, you know, show up. But no, I'm there, you know, I feel like I'm there to realize that, hey, we're all messed up. We all have a problem in our lives, and we're here to get help. And so that's one of the things I'm going to share about, specifically just the idea of brokenness. You know, lately I've been realizing that God is showing me that I'm broken, you know. It may sound a little harsh. It may sound, you know, sad. It's like, what do you mean God is teaching, you know, showing you that you're broken? I have a point, so bear with me here. So let me connect to the laptop. Okay. So just to illustrate how I feel is, you know, broken glass, broken bowl. This is pretty much what I want to share. It's my point, is that God has been showing me that I am broken. Now, what I mean by that is, you know, trying to live as a disciple, trying to live as a Christian, sometimes there are things that I don't realize that it's just I can't change. You know, I'll go to God. God, help me out with this. Would it be problem with my anger, problem with my purity, problem with finances, problem with just my emotions, you know, how I confess sins. Like, I'm trying to figure out why I can't get over it. You know, why can't I fix this? You know, why can I be fixed? And so going to the Purity Ministry, Purity Conference, one of the things they're talking about was the word trauma. And so, you know, trauma in the literal aspect of it is, you know, a deeply distressing or disturbing experience. But what they're talking about is spiritual trauma, where it's pretty much a tear in the soul. So I'm like, whoa. Is a tear in the soul, and, you know, spiritually speaking. So I'm trying to live this Christian life without realizing I have a tear. you know, in my soul. I'm trying to act like I'm a whole person that in my soul, but I'm not seeing that that's the reason why I can't do things normally a person would do is because I haven't been healed. I haven't been restored in a sense spiritually. And so I had to dig in deeper in my life. You know, what happened in childhood that is affecting me here? Because nothing happened recently that would affect, you know, the way I talk to people. And so lately I've been kind of digging into the past. Now it's tough because there's a lot of stuff in that past that I didn't want to remember. I remember in the Philippines, I came here when I was 15, but in the Philippines, about 6 years old, 6, 7 years old, I'm always into trouble because in the Philippines, we just go out as kids whenever there's free time after school, play around the neighborhood, and I would get into fights, like normal kids in the Philippines. But coming back home after a fight, I'm an emotional kid. I would cry, I would cry coming home. But then, I remember as a kid when I would come home crying, either, I don't remember if it was my mom or my brother, it was like, hey, if you're going to get in trouble, if you're going to get into fights, at least come home not crying. Don't come home crying. At least kind of win the fight, because if you come home crying, it's almost like you lost. But then again, that gave me an impression where if I cry or if I show emotion coming home, that I'm weak, that I didn't win. And so that festered into me bottling things up. And even as a student, I'm the type of kid that if I get a test result, I'll get the grade, I'll look at the grade, okay, if I pass, good. And then, but I won't look at the corrections, what I didn't do right. I'll just turn it over. And then same thing, if I didn't pass it, I'll just look at the grade with disgust. I'm like, I didn't pass it. But I'll turn it down and then put the test paper away, not really dealing with what I didn't, mess up on. And so that pretty much, I grew up carrying that on, that I don't want to show weakness by emotions, by just bottling things up and moving on. And even, becoming a disciple, it basically affected the way, I'm building my relationship with God, where there are things that I still kept inside that it was hard for me to share with, even with people, because almost most of my life, I was trained to not show emotion because I'm weak. And so, lost my notes here. And so I go to God. I'm like, God, I have this thing, right? I have a problem. And I don't know how to fix it. I would go to pray. I would go to church. I'd talk to brothers and sisters and with fellowship. But I just don't feel right. I just don't feel complete. Because I was trying to either fix the problem my way and not really God's way. When I would pray, I would go to the Psalms. And, Psalm 25, verse 18, look on my affliction and my distress. Take all away my sins. Psalm 31, be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. You know, in my distress, I groan aloud and I am reduced to skin and bones. And then, you know, I read the scripture, cast all your anxiety to him because he cares for you. So I would go to the scriptures to try to get answers from God. You know, God, how do you fix this? You know, I express everything that I'm going through to you. You know, but I don't know how to cast all my anxieties. I think, you know, by praying to you, that's me trying to cast my anxiety. I don't know about your experience with tech support. So if you call for a problem, right, you have to explain what's going on when you call for tech support. I actually work as a tech support. So when someone calls, you ask them questions to explain what's going on, right? But sometimes I would get someone or I have a problem, fix it. What's the problem? I don't know, fix it. And sometimes I could be like that with God. That, God, I feel like, you know, I don't feel this way with you. I don't feel like following you. Why? I don't know. We would go to God, you know, we would pray. And sometimes we don't even know what we're praying about. And so that was me, like, God, I don't know what I'm going through. You know, God, I don't know what's going on with my heart. I can't even share it with the people I love, and they can see in my face. You know, sometimes I don't know if you saw me, you know, all throughout the years, well, I'd come to church when you can tell right away something's going on in my mind, you know, in my eyes. And then you would ask me, hey, you know, what's going on? I'll just be like, I'm good, I'm fine. Because I don't know how to talk about it. You know? And so for a while, for the longest time in my walk with God, I'm just almost just saying God about my problems, but not really taking up God to how to fix it. You know, any mathematician would tell you, you know, if you want to solve a problem, you have to apply the equation. I wanted the problem solved without actually applying the equation in my life. You know, God was actually showing me the way to live my life, to be able to be healed by him. But I wasn't committed to it. I just want the end result. And so, you know, look at the scripture in Matthew 11, verse 28. It says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so, all right, God, I go to God and really try to bring this to him. You know, I didn't have a good relationship with my dad, so I don't know how, at first, I didn't know how to build that relationship with God. So him as my father, it's hard because I can't see him. You know, it's hard because I can't hear him physically. And so how am I going to go about it? You know, I was too focused on what I can't hear or see that God is actually blessing me with the people in my life, you know, in the church, that are actually asking me to spend time to, you know, for them to give me advice where I'm just like reluctant to advice. I was asking God to answer my prayers. All along he was answering my prayers, but I wasn't seeing it because I was too blind to actually accept his answers. I want him to answer my prayers my way, not his way. And so that's why lately I'm realizing that I am broken. Okay, God, there is a problem here the way I see things. I can't be a vase when I'm broken. You know, I can't hold water when I'm like that. So I can't expect myself to do great when there's things in my heart that I need to get healed by you. And so there's this thing called, in Japan, called kintsugi. So this is the definition. When a bowl, teapot, or precious vase falls and breaks into a thousand pieces, we throw them away angrily, regretfully, yet there is an alternative Japanese practice that highlights and enhances the breaks, thus adding value to the broken object. It's called kintsugi, or kintsukuri, literally golden and repair. So kin means golden, and sugi means repair. The tradition Japanese art uses a precious metal, liquid gold, liquid silver, or lacquer, dusted with powdered gold to bring together the pieces of a broken pottery item at the same time enhances the breaks. The technique consists of joining the fragments and giving them a new, more refined aspect. Every repaired piece is unique because the randomness of which with ceramics. And so remember these vases that I showed, you know, these are pieces. So one looks like, you know, some kind of bowl, and this looks like a figurine. And then this, you know, two jars that are just in pieces. Now with what I just shared about the Japanese art kintsugi, this two-piece vase actually now looks like that. So can't really see what it could be, you know, before it's repaired, because it looks bad looking like this. But the end result is this way. You know, and as you zoom in further with the details of the vase, you know, it's pretty much repaired with gold. And then with this, you know, figure, the white figure and then the bowl, I didn't even know it was that the white pieces are pieces of horse, you know. And then the brown vase or the brown bowl is this one. So why am I sharing this? It's because of this scripture. You know, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Amen. And so, you know, with my brokenness, I have to realize that I have to bring it to God. You know, I can't fix myself. You know, I was too busy trying to fix myself my own way. You know, I was trying to band-aid myself when I needed God's spiritual surgery, spiritual bandage to help me, you know, to be a whole person for him, not for me. You know, when I read that scripture, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. You know, God clearly cares for me, cares for all of us. You know, on these broken pieces, it seems like there's no value. You know, in a world, no one would buy that kind of, you know, furniture or, you know, display. But with God, no matter what, how broken we are, how many pieces we are, you know, he's willing to take us up. You know, because and through our brokenness, you know, we can be beautiful by God's glory, you know, by him being able to heal us, you know, him being able to show that no matter how broken you are, he is able to put you whole. And in Ephesians 2, verse 10, you know, this scripture, it's hard for me to understand sometimes because I don't feel like a masterpiece. But it says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And so if you're a disciple, you know, God is not done with us yet. We're still a work in progress. But my question is, are you done with God? You know, are you still letting him heal you? Or are you trying to fix yourself? And for us visiting, if you don't have the relationship with God yet, you know, no matter where you are in life, God is willing to take you on so he can heal you, have a relationship with you. Thank you.
Good afternoon, church. I usually sit over there, like towards the back, right? Not towards the way back, but back there. And today I was sitting over here, and I got like a bird, like a good view of what Ramon is doing throughout the service. And if you have never been on this side and see what's happening at the table over here, it's amazing the amount of work and effort that's